Buccaneers fans, the Super Bowl is here. We are now within 24 hours of the day most of us thought would never come in 2021. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, a very, very special Ira Kaufman Podcast, number two of this week. If you have not listened yet, go to joebucksfan.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, wherever. You can subscribe free, listen free, catch up. A lot of great content, and this is a special edition, Sage. But first, let's remind everybody that the podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, America's dealership. How about that? 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium, BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan is fired up to just meet more Bucks fans. He's met so many through JoeBucksFan.com. He wants to help you personally. He's ready, online, walk in the dealership, call up, whatever you want to do. Sean is ready to help you into a Ford truck, car. Remember, nationwide lifetime warranty on all vehicles at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Sage of Tampa Bay Sports has gotten another man into the Hall of Fame. It's John Lynch. We are proud, Ira, as everybody knows, looking at the headline here. Lynch is on this podcast today. His very first interview after becoming a Hall of Famer. Pretty cool, and it's right here. We taped it earlier, and it's very, very good, very strong. But first, Sage, the news of the day is that Lee DeCamper is here of JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz, and Ian Rappaport of NFL Network is letting everybody know that all the COVID tests are finished. The Bucks are all clear. The Chiefs are all clear. This Super Bowl will not get screwed up. The virus won't take it down. We got a game Sunday, Sage.
Everything's going in Tampa Bay's favor, gentlemen. Even the rain is going to end, you know, by Sunday morning. It's going to be nice for Brady to carve up that Chiefs defense. And, Lee, I think we'd be remiss. You know, you talk about distractions. There haven't been any from a Tampa perspective. Zero. And I don't want to make light of this, Lee, because the situation with Britt Reed certainly – from a family perspective, it's a lot more than a distraction. It's a potential tragedy. But Lee, from a football perspective, it's a distraction. And he's a linebacker coach. Say what you want. He's not going to be there for the biggest game of the year for his football team. And Lee, you got to wonder about Andy Reid's focus. I mean, Andy Reid is Andy Reid. You know, he's a Hall of Fame coach. He's been through this before, but Lee, this is flesh and blood, and, you know, this is a potentially devastating situation for the Reed family. So, just, Lee, in terms of distractions, it's advantage Tampa, and Buck fans will take any edge they can get.
I guess if you're Bill Belichick, you're wringing your hands in celebration. I'm not Bill Belichick. I always remember what my high school coach said about distractions. Distractions are distractions, and you let them be distractions. If I want to get really bluntly honest, and blunt honesty is not politically correct, Reed's been through this before, as you said. He had another son that was going through some awful problems, and I don't recall that affecting Reed's coaching at all. And if I recall correctly, that son actually lost his battle with drugs, and I don't recall Reed ever having a down season or a down game as far as... Now, clock management, But other than that, no. It's an awful situation. In my mind, it's got nothing to do with a linebacker's coach, everything to do with a child. It's awful. But as far as the Super Bowl goes, it's in my DNA to say this is nothing.
Steve, the one thing we can say for sure is from a Tampa-based perspective, it's been a very, very smooth lead-up to the Super Bowl. The injury report looks very optimistic. You know, things are breaking well for the Bucks. The Chiefs' offensive line battered. You know, I don't care what the national pundits are picking for this game, although I think it's kind of split. Steve, the odds makers have it as a tight game. And there's every reason to feel good if you're a Buck fan right now.
Absolutely, Ira. Look, Bucks fans have to be out of their minds. The offensive line is healthy. Everybody's healthy. We're hearing Jordan Whitehead, Antoine Winfield, and Levante David, they were not on the injury report yesterday, which is huge, absolutely huge, on a Friday for a Sunday night game. They're ready to go. Antonio Brown, his knee is, you know, questionable. Cameron Brate's back is questionable. But honestly, those two guys, while you want them, they're not critical cogs in making sure the Bucks win this game, in my opinion. So, you know what? The trenches are healthy. That's where the Bucks are probably going to win this game, in addition to their quarterback, who is just gets more and more praise by the day, Ira. I wanted to run this past you and Lee. It was a story on JoeBucksFan.com. Now, Cameron Jordan, who doesn't really love anybody and is always throwing all kinds of different darts at the Bucks with his social media posts and this and that, he explained on on Peacock, he did an interview, and he explained that Brady gets better after you hit him. And he said that he said that Brady unquestionably has the quickest release in the NFL, gets rid of the ball faster than anyone. And when you hit him, he just assumes that he has to get rid of the ball faster, and he does, that he has another notch. And Jordan made the case that unless you hit Brady like three times in a row, like the Saints did with Trey Hendrickson. Yeah. You know, hitting him once is almost counterproductive, which I had never heard that before. It was a great take from a guy who certainly understands what's going on. And you know what? I almost want Brady to get hit in the first quarter.
Lee, I think Cam Jordan, I wonder what Cam Jordan's putting in his gumbo in there in New Orleans, Lee. You got to wonder. I think that's nuts. From a Buck perspective, the idea is they don't want Brady hit at all. I mean, keep him clean. And they've done a marvelous job about it. Now, Lee, this is for you. This is particularly for you. Speaking of Cam Jordan in particular, he plays left end. So who did he go up against twice this year? Mr. Tristan Wirfs. And Lee, I want to recount a conversation I had yesterday with Mr. Ian Beckles. And Lee, you've listened to Beckles for many years. He is not a man to give out plaudits very easily, especially about Buck offensive linemen. I think you'd agree with me about that, Lee.
Yeah.
He's a tough critic. Well, you know, Ian and I get along, and we had a small chat before he went on the air yesterday afternoon. And I said, Ian, I don't know if you agree with this. You know, you can chew me out if you want. But I said, Tristan Wirfs is sensational. He's absolutely sensational. And to my surprise and pleasure, he said, you're absolutely right. Now, he didn't call me Sage, Steve. He didn't say, you're right, Sage. He said, you're right. And he then went on a 5-minute diatribe about the incredible technique that Wirfs has as a rookie. And Lee, I hope I'm not invading Beckel's space here, but here's what he said this. He said, Tristan Wirfs right now is better than Paul Gruber in his prime. Now, that is one hell of a statement from a former Buck offensive lineman. We'll see who Wirfs is going up against. Could be Frank Clark. If I'm the Chiefs, I'm moving Frank Clark to right end all the time because I don't think he can beat Wirfs. I mean, Wirfs is never out of position, so we shall see, but keeping Brady clean, I'm sorry to disagree with an all-pro defensive end, but Cam Jordan, you're out of your mind.
Ira, you know what? It's Saturday night when this podcast posts after the Hall of Fame announcement of John Lynch, and there's still plenty of time. A lot of people do their Super Bowl shopping early in the day. There's time to, A, go to Bill Curry Ford and get yourself a new ride in celebration of this amazing Bucks season. But you can also stock up on Big Storm beer because people are going to be drinking beer all night long. I have a feeling into tomorrow and all through next week. Not a lot of productivity after the Bucks win this thing tomorrow night. But Big Storm beer is amazing. It is the best craft beer in Florida. It is brewed locally. It is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. And the tap rooms are going to be open. They are extra stocked for Super Bowl Sunday. Get to BigStormBrewery.com to get the exact hours. I think one's at 11, one's at noon. Odessa, Clearwater, Cape Coral. And, of course, you can watch the Super Bowl at Big Storm. Gorgeous outdoor seating in Clearwater, 3,000 square foot, fully covered, and the indoor tap room, and amazing food. And you can get the Ira Kaufman Reuben or the Cuban, either one. They know Ira stuffs both in his face. BigStormBrewery.com. Sage, I got to ask you this. Is there any fear in your mind, any fear that the Buccaneers defense is going to crumble, because I think ultimately most fans think that, well, the way the Bucks lose this game is that they just flat out fall apart, and it kind of looks a little like it did last time, but the Chiefs don't take their foot off the gas this time, and you know, next thing you know, the Bucks are trailing 24-14 at halftime, and the pressure's on. Do you think there's any chance that the defense of the Bucks just flat out falls apart and lets up 42, 43 points, and they lose, you know, whatever the offense puts up?
It's an excellent question, Steve, because I think mental toughness comes to the fore in a game like this. Lee, we've been watching the Chiefs now for 2 years, maybe 3 years with Mahomes. One thing we know for sure, they're going to make some plays. You're not holding them to 147 total yards and 8 first downs. That just doesn't happen. As good as Todd Bowles is, and as good as the Buck pass rush might be, that doesn't happen, Lee. It doesn't happen because Mahomes doesn't let it happen. So there's going to be some plays where he breaks the pocket. I think that's the fear for the Bucks. Breaks the pocket. I'm not worried about the Buck pass rush. It's going to show up. But not only do you have to pressure Mahomes, Lee, but you can't even let him get outside you as an edge rusher. I mean, that's a lot on your plate as an edge rusher. You got enough to think about, you know, beating your man. But now you can't let Mahomes skate around you, because then he puts too much pressure on the secondary and the linebackers, who now they got to hold 5-6 seconds. Very, very difficult. So, Lee, they're going to make some plays, and I think it's up to Todd Bowles to keep the guy's confidence up. I think he will, but anybody who thinks they're going to throw a blanket around this Chiefs offense, I think that's just foolhardy.
Yeah, I mean, haven't we seen in the playoffs before with the Chiefs or with the Mahomes? In particular, they've gotten down 3 scores and at halftime. And second half, Mahomes just flips the switch, and next thing you know, they're up by 2 touchdowns.
The blink of an eye.
Yeah.
That's when you got to keep your poise, Steve. You lose your poise, you're done, because they'll blitz you. They'll absolutely blitz you.
Exactly, Ira. And you know what? When you lose your poise, when you come home and you got a flood and you run to call your insurance company without doing the smart thing and calling Florida's Elite Restoration immediately for a free assessment of what's going on, that's where you lose your poise and you mess up and you get ripped off by the insurance company because you panic. Don't panic. Call Florida's Elite Restoration. If you see mold, if you have a leak, if who knows what's going on, if you had a fire in the exhaust fan, floridaselite restoration.com is the website. They are our friends. They're there 24/7. And Ira, you know, that's the first call.
No question about it. We know all those people personally. Very, very impressive. And more importantly, Steve, we know clients that they've had that can't say enough about the professionalism of Florida's Elite Restoration, the honest assessment. You know, a lot of times it's not nearly as bad as you think it's going to be. And they'll put your mind to ease. But if it's a major issue, they'll take care of it. And that's what you want. You want that peace of mind, and that's what Florida's Elite Restoration is dedicated to.
Lee, let me throw this at you first. MVP, can you pick an MVP of this Super Bowl? We need a prediction. Last podcast, we all gave our picks. We all chose the Buccaneers. That you can go back and listen to that breakdown. We all went very, very deep into the game on the last podcast. But MVP, Lee, who's your Super Bowl MVP? And give me a number 2 choice, and we'll revisit this next week.
I sort of agree with quite a few people, including Michael Lombardi. If Shaq Barrett's your MVP, the Bucks win. A dark horse MVP, and we don't even know who's going to play. And to me, I think this is a little more significant than what you were thinking, Steve. Dark horse MVP, if he plays, Cam Brate.
Wow. Wow.
Because
Harvard, man.
What worries me is one of the reasons why the Bucks offensive line has done well is they've often kept Gronk back to block. And that would let Brate go out and catch passes, which he's done, including touchdowns. Well, without Brate, you know, all of a sudden you have basically one tight end, unless you're banking on Anthony O'Clair to be, lights out. I like Anthony O'Clair, but I don't know if you expect him to help carry an offense. Brate can, as far as his touchdowns, you know, those short passes over the middle. He's very good at that. So that would be my dark horse if Brate can play. And if given me the druthers, I would take Brate to play over Antonio Brown.
Steve, the chalk picks would be Brady or Mahomes because it almost always goes to a quarterback. I'm going to go with a young man named Chris Godwin. And, Steve, he's been struggling. He's been struggling. But I've said it on this podcast. I think Godwin's fantastic. I think he's the number one offseason priority for this franchise, keeping him. I think they will keep him. Brady loves him, and that's going to go a long way. And I think Godwin's going to have a big game. And I don't think the Chiefs secondary can stop Chris Godwin. I think he's going to get 2 touchdowns. I think he's going to win the MVP.
You want to give me a 1B, Ira, or no?
1B, I think, would be Jason Pierre-Paul forcing a fumble and getting a sack and a half.
All right, Sage, I'm going to try to use a little bit of logic here because it's still, for the best of my knowledge, it's still you media guys in the press box vote for the Super Bowl MVP. Am I correct?
You might as well stop right there, Steve, because when I went over to the commissioner's press conference on Thursday, I was approached by an NFL official, and I have a vote. I am voting for the MVP. How do you like that?
I like it. I like it. The Sage rules, the things that you don't reveal on this podcast, Ira, if you actually revealed all of them, we'd have 3 times the listeners, Ira, with the stories in your and the happenings. But
what do you want? What do you want? My social security? You want my social security number too?
One day, Ira, when you have dementia, we'll get you on the podcast and we'll you'll let it rip. In all seriousness, though, I think you media guys, I'm trying to dip into the head of the media guy, the esteemed ones, and you're all expecting to give it to a quarterback, and you're all expecting Mahomes to have a hell of a day. And I think if the Bucs win this game, it's going to be on defense, and I'm going to say Devin White is a guy who is my most likely MVP, just because I think he's going to have a huge day, a special day, if the Bucs are going to win this thing. Maybe it's forcing a couple of fumbles, something, and 16 tackles or 18 tackles. But I'm going to go there. My second choice would be Leonard Fournette. I could totally see Fournette having 3 touchdowns, whether they're short throws or on the ground pounding it in, and I think that might be enough to do it.
Nice. By the way, Lee, one thing I said to it was Michael Signora, who's a very, very solid and very competent NFL representative, and when he asked me, Lee, and I was proud to do it, that, you know, to be a voter for the MVP. But Lee, the one thing that I said, and I had the Bucs in mind from the, you know, 2003 Super Bowl, when I thought that if they would have given out the award at the end of the game, I thought that Simeon Rice might have won it. But, as you know, for whatever reason,
100%.
Yes. And Lee, whatever reason, and I think we know the reasons, they wanted the ballot like in the middle of the third quarter. And that's not right. So I told Michael Signora, I said, I will do this, but I'm not giving you my ballot with six minutes left in the third quarter. And he said, that's not going to be the case. You do it when you want to do it, when you think you have the guy. And that's not fair, Lee. It wasn't fair to Simeon Rice that, you know, Dexter Jackson had that thing wrapped up before halftime. And that's not fair.
Yeah, like I said, Chris Drews would say 100%. That was voted on later in the game. Simeon Rice would have had the MVP, no question about it.
All right, Ira, now we're going to needle you a little bit before we have this great treat for our listeners on your podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. So what everyone's realized now is that John Lynch is a Hall of Famer. Finally, it's done. And Sage had his presentation strategy, his plan. You explained it a little bit previously. You did a great job explaining it on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And we know that you were tweaking it a little bit, going a little shorter, and because you had troops lined up behind you to present different angles to Lynch's career, and it worked in a very tough year to get in. So, Ira, you knew, though, for days that John Lynch got into the Hall of Fame. John Lynch knew for days. Amazingly, this was kept a secret across the country for all of these guys, for the most part, and it was revealed on the television show tonight with footage from Lynch's house and all that. But when I found out Lynch got in, because you trusted Lee and me with the news, and we appreciate that, I had to pick up the slack because I knew that the Sage wasn't going to call Lynch and say, baby, come on the podcast. we'll do your first interview. That's not how you roll, Ira. And you know, we know that for years that you refuse to ask your important friends to come on the podcast. But this time I couldn't not make it happen. So I pulled out my my phone and called Lynch and said, look, John, Ira's too proud to ask you to come on the podcast. He thinks you'll feel obligated, but come on. And he said, sure, no problem. Looking forward to it. Everybody loves Ira's podcast. So there we go.
I can't believe you dipped into your Rolodex, Stephen. Normally, that Rolodex is full of dating sites, you know, and things like that, those numbers. But you did a fantastic job, Steve. And for that to be Lynch's first interview as a Hall of Famer, I mean, that's fantastic. And it says a lot about Joe Buck's fan. Steve, I'm being serious. And Lee, you know I'm right about it. It was a hell of a job by Hizbits and a great interview for Lynch. You know, as I said to Lynch, Lee, he and I have been through a lot together the last 8 years, a lot of tearful phone calls. And I'm being serious. Ooh. The emotions run very, very high, very, very high. You know, and this year I didn't have to make that phone call to John Lynch. And I'll say one more thing, guys. I've never seen the whole put these kind of protocols in. I thought we were guarding the nuclear codes over there. Lee, the voters, the 48 selectors, we didn't know who the final five were. So it wasn't us that was that were going to leak anything, Lee. It wasn't us. It was the guys that got the phone calls and the knock on the door from David Baker. They were the ones who were going to know ahead of time, but it wasn't going to be the writers, Lee. So I've never seen this kind of secrecy. But let's say a word about Rondé Barber, because he's going to have his day. And I asked Lynch that question. I won't give you the answer. I'll let our listeners hear it. But, Steve, you know my last question to John Lynch concerned number 20, Rondé Barber, and his future in the room. And Lynch gave a fantastic answer, Steve.
All right, we're going to break it right here, Bucks fans, to get to John Lynch, as promised. We recorded this Saturday afternoon. Lynch is emotional. There's good stuff here. A lot of fun. We appreciate it. And we got plenty of Bucks talk about the Super Bowl. A couple of interesting angles on the other side. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford for presenting the podcast, BillCurryFord.com. And our official beer is Big Storm Beer. And remember, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. You head there, you call them immediately if you have any disaster in your home. Here's John Lynch. Mr. John Lynch, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer John Lynch, justice has been served. Thanks for joining the Ira Kaufman podcast, John.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here, and I have nothing but thanks for Ira. You know, year in, year out, it took a while, obviously, everybody knows. But, you know, every year I would be eternally grateful because I knew how hard Ira was working to get this done, and I knew what a great job he was doing presenting my case. I kept hearing that from people in the room. You know, they're not supposed to give you information, but that's the one piece I would consistently get. Ira is doing a tremendous job, and John, this is going to happen. And, you know, stay patient through the process. It wasn't always easy because I think we're used to things in life where you can do something about it. This one really wasn't, you know, it was sit back and let the process work itself out. And, it eventually did. And I got to tell you, it's pretty sweet to, have it happen when the Super Bowl's in Tampa. You know, really where I started my career and the 11 really formative years of my career where we started a family and we're, you know, looking out at the convention center out of our hotel right now. And this is like where we used to live. I used to run stadium steps at the place I'm looking right now before practices. And so I guess what I'm saying is it was worth the wait and very appreciative to Mr. Kaufman.
John, I guess in that way, it's come full circle. John, you've known about this for a little while, and what's it been like since you were notified, and then the next sentence, you were told to keep your mouth shut and don't tell anybody, and you go to the senior bowl, you can't tell a lot. What's it been like the last 10, 14 days for you?
Well, it's been pretty incredible, Ira, and as you know, it was championship weekend, really, when David Baker came to my house in San Diego. You know, we were on our little bit. You don't get much vacation doing what I'm doing now with the GM job. But when we do, we typically escape to San Diego, where Linda and myself are from. And we still have a ton of family and we keep a home down there. And it was championship weekend. I was getting ready to leave the next day for Mobile. And I get the knock on my door. And Linda was the only person in our house that knew, but my parents were there. Linda's dad was there, my sister and her family, my brother and his family. It was incredible. And then, you know, I think it was nice, Ira, that I am so busy with this job. I went down to Mobile and had a lot of well-wishers say, hey, I know it's right around the corner, and we think this is the year. You know, most of the time I just said, we'll see. Some people I'd mess with and say, hey, I have a really good feeling knowing that I knew. And it's been fun, but I'm just amazed, as I'm sure you are, you know, particularly in the world that I live in, the world you live in, nothing stays a secret in the social media age. And so I really doubted that they could hold it. And the fact that they did till the end, it's just unbelievable.
Now, John, you got to think about a million things. You know, you got to sit down with the bust guy and figure out what kind of likeness you want. But, John, you also have to think and decide who's going to be your presenter, Mr. Lynch. Have you been thinking about it?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot. I haven't. You would think I've had whatever it is, 9 years to think about it. And I've done a lot of thinking. But when it gets there, it's really hard, because there's so many people that have been so impactful in my life. So this is, I mean, we're sitting here I'm talking to you guys on Saturday. You guys will, you know, we'll find out. The world will find out tonight, but this was taped on Saturday. And, you know, this morning they ran us through an orientation. David Baker asked that question. Have you figured this out? And I said, no, I'm so embarrassed, because it's, you know, you would think same thing I just told you guys. And he said, John, just about every person that comes in here that has this honor has that same feeling. It's very tough, but we'll find it out. It will either be someone in my family, or there's one coach that I have in mind who was really impactful and really made me believe that I could someday do this. And that would be the coach, but I'll let you know before anyone else. I just don't know yet.
John, is there an unsung teammate that you think about through your journey, that maybe a guy that maybe fans wouldn't associate with you and helping you along the way, maybe a guy in Denver or with the Bucks that really kind of helped you or was a special teammate that isn't a big name that you could tell us about?
Well, you know, I think before you qualified it with someone on the team, you know, I would tell you the unsung person in this is my wife. She was with me, you know, from the time I came here, you know, as a rookie, and she was playing professional tennis at the time, so she was working real hard. But you know, I don't think people understand the sacrifice that our wives in this game. You put so much time into it, and it's so all encompassing. And so I, you know, for the 15 years of my career, and then as a broadcaster, all those days I'm gone, and now as a GM, and all she's ever done is support and push me and know what buttons, know when to just be there as a sounding board, know when to say, hey, get out of your head, let's go, you know, and be tough, and certainly help nurse me through a ton of injuries that you go through in this game. So that's who I thought of. But now in terms of on the field, I think of a lot of players, you know, in terms of the unsung, think of people that unfortunately we've lost. Demetrius DeBose was part of my draft class and was my best friend. We lost him some time ago. And so I've spent a lot of time since I found out about this, because we came here in 1993. He was the second round draft pick. I was one of our third round draft picks, but we talked a lot about how the Bucks were the laughing stock of this league, and we were going to be the ones that did something about changing that. And, you know, he also pushed me. I think of guys that were vets when I came in 93. Artie Nickerson was very impactful in my career because he was a pro, and he was a great player, but a great human being who did a ton in the community. And my parents always taught me, if you want to be successful, study successful people. Well, Hardy was that for me. Martin Mayhew was that same guy. And then, you know, sure enough, those things, you form friendships and relationships for life. When I got the job in San Francisco as the GM, first person I called was Martin Mayhew, who had been a GM in Detroit. He said, please come with me and let's do this thing. And he, without hesitation, he was working for the Giants and said, absolutely. And so I think of those bonds and friendships in Denver. There were many players. Rod Smith, one that comes to mind, is just a unbelievable player, but unbelievable person. And so there's so many people. And you don't spend a lot of time, I think, in this profession, reflecting back on your career, because everything's about what's next. But these last 2 weeks have given me a lot of opportunity to do that. Think of all the people that you're grateful for.
John, one thing I keep thinking about, and I think you're going to be startled when you think back to 96, and here comes Dungy, and it's a forlorn franchise. And John, he says to Seth, Brooks, and Lynch, and mentions Joe Green, Jack Hamm, and Donnie Schelt, John, and the three of you guys are going to have gold jackets. I mean, that's an incredible story, John.
No, it really is. And you know, Sapp and Brooks came in as first-round draft picks and great players that we were really fortunate to get in the same draft. It was unbelievable. I was sitting back there like a kid in the candy store. But my career really hadn't taken off. My first 2 years, I was really a special teams player, sparsely started games, you know, and our team was struggling. But Tony Dungy came in along with Herm Edwards and Monty Kiffin, and they saw something in me, and they really painted the picture. This is how we see you in this defense, and you're going to do a little bit of everything. You're going to play the cover two. You're going to be in the back of the half field, but then we're going to bring you in the box, and you're going to play like a linebacker. At other times, you're going to blitz, and you're going to be like a defensive lineman, and we think you have the skills to do it all and do it at a high level. And so, you know, I think back to those three coaches, you know, Monty, Tony, and Herm, and the way they talked, they almost spoke it into existence. And I started to believe that, you know what, I'm setting my sights way too low just to try to get on the field. I know I'm going to get on the field, but now how high can I take it? And, you know, I keep using the word gratitude, but those are the people that you're so thankful for, because they wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have got that knock on the door without them.
John, we'd be remiss not to talk a little bit about number 20, John, your teammate, Rondé Barber, an absolute complete player, a unique player. John, this was his first year as a finalist. You know what that's like for you in 2014. What was your conversation with Rondé after you found out that you were getting a gold jacket? And what did you tell him, John?
Ira, as soon as, you know, I found out from David, and, you know, him knocking on the door, Mr. Baker, you know, right away, I was asking him who else made it, because I was really thinking about Rondé. I wanted to know, was my buddy going in with me? You know, he said, no, you know, it didn't happen. He'd tell me at the end of the day, you know, who the rest of the class was. But listen, here's what I know, and it's a lot easier for other people to say it. You know, I waited a while than it is for you to hear it. But the one thing I told Rondé is, I said, just trust it, man. It is going to happen. And, you know, Rondé's case is hard to refute, because, you know, for instance, like mine, I didn't have all the numbers. It's a hard position to quantify mine. But Rondé, he put up interceptions. He put up sacks. He's done it. And then I think most importantly with Rondé, because I think numbers can sometimes be, it's production, and that's what it's all about. But it's really about impact. And Rondé really, I think he redefined a position, or not even redefined, defined it in the nickel position. And people, when we are in draft meetings, we still say, how are we going to find our next Rondé Barber? You know, and so I think that really speaks volumes. I guarantee you the people that played against Rondé Barber, knew the impact that he had. They try to keep us out of nickel so that Rondé would go outside at corner, where he was really good. But he wreaked havoc on the inside when he played that nickel position. And I'm confident that his time will come. And I'm going to, you know, make it my mission, just like my buddies, Brooks and Sapp did, to get me in. I'm going to dedicate to doing whatever I need to do. And I understand it's a process, and you have to have faith in that and respect that. But I'm going to push for my buddy, because not only is he one of my best friends in this world, but he belongs. And that's exactly what I told him.
Ira, you got more help next year. That's nice. That's nice. John, thanks so much for joining the Ira Kaufman podcast like this, really on such a busy day for you, an emotional day, and it's going to be an exciting night. Like you said, we're recording this before the big announcement. Bucks fans, of course, are going crazy. You know, you can imagine the insanity. I know you came into town recently. You know, they're out of their minds with this season, so we have to at least ask you something tied to the current Bucks. You know, a lot of fans don't realize, but you were a teammate, albeit for a very short amount of time, with Tom Brady in New England before you you played that last fourth preseason game and said goodbye. Is there anything you took away from that time that maybe you can share with fans about your Brady experience?
What a good teammate he was. I was only up there for 3.5 weeks. And but Tom, just from day one, hey, you know, he got up there and, hey, buddy, you know, if you need anything, you just let me know. He was that guy. And, you know, he was extremely established. This was in 2008. I never ended up playing that season, so I was there for a very short amount of time. Tom was rehabbing a foot injury at the time, so he wasn't even on the field most of the time, but he was just a tremendous teammate. You know, it blows my mind when I hear, you know, his 10th Super Bowl. I mean, I went through it. I played for 15. I've been a GM now for 4. It's hard to get there one time. And the fact that he's been there 10, you know, how he's just outdistanced the competition at his position and such, it's remarkable. And the fact that he's still going as strong as he is at 43 years old. And then coming back, I've been back here in recent years, and, you know, it felt like there was a little bit like apathy for the Bucks. And to come back, obviously it's a Super Bowl, but come back into town and see it, feeling like, you know, late 90s and early 2000s again, the excitement for the Bucks, that's pretty cool, because it was a special time when I was here, the relationship between the fans and the players. And I feel like number 12 has had a big hand in making that feeling be back here again. And that's good for the area, for the Tampa Bay area, for the city of Tampa. And I'm just really happy for him. I'm happy for the organization, the Blazers. And I'm happy most of all for the fans around here, because they deserve it. They're tremendous fans.
John, we've been through a lot together over the last 8 years. So I just want to sign off with you thanking you for the time and to say that I can't wait to celebrate your special day in Canton, John. Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'll forever be indebted to Ira. I know how much you poured into this. I know the pain, you know, when you called each year to say, sorry, buddy. I typically got the call from you if it wasn't from David Baker. You know, just, you know, very, very appreciative for all the work you put in, and I'm glad I don't have to answer those door knocks anymore, and it's just part of such an esteemed group.
Listen to all that love for the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. Special stuff, Ira.
Hey, Ira, real quick. And you're going to love my analogy here. And I hate to go 1970s. But you're talking about, you know, the voters didn't know. What did David Baker do? Did he keep the results in a mason jar and Funkin' Wagnalls front porch like the great Karnak?
That's a great line, Lee. You know, I can't believe they kept it secret, guys. I just can't. Steve, the only breach was Leroy Butler about 10 days ago, went on Twitter and said, I didn't make it, guys. I didn't make it. And he was one of the 15 finalists. And that was the only breach. So he was a guy who didn't make it. I'm just shocked that in this day and age, that could happen. But I'm so happy. And Lynch is going to be at the game, gentlemen. And Lee, maybe more surprisingly, you're going to be at the game, and it's your first. And Lee, as a veteran of about 30 Super Bowls, I think it's going to be a fantastic experience for you.
You know, actually, it's my first one. I've never been there.
And, you know, of course, Ira, we've been to Super Bowl week events for many, many years, and the all the media stuff and the pageantry and the parties and stuff, but not the actual game. So it's exciting stuff.
Well, Ira, I do know that, you know, you mentioned you had a tearful phone calls with Lynch, and that took me aback. I was like, wow, you know. Yeah, I got to talk to Lynch at Combine. Talk about, all, you know, a brief amount of time. Everybody and their brother wanted to talk to him, but, you know, he'd give me a little bit of time. He knows me, and he knows who he knows you work for me, Ira. And one time I mentioned to him, I said, hey, John, I was really busted up about this. He can't believe that, you know, his speeches are not working for these people. It's so political. And these people up in the Northeast are so, you know, they want other people in but you, John. And Lynch told me, and he's like, Lee, he goes, I know what Ira said. I've seen his script. I've seen his presentation. I can't be more prouder than to have Ira Kaufman presenting me, and he shouldn't take it personally. And I just thought that was a class act to say that he would prefer no one else but you, Ira, to present him, and that you shouldn't take it personally. I said, yeah, but he does. And then John's like, yeah, I know.
Well, from that John Lynch interview, Steve, Our listeners can tell what a class act we've been dealing with, besides being a great football player who finally got his gold jacket. He's been so gracious to me. And guys, there were times, you know, after 3, 4, 5, 6 years of a presentation and he doesn't make the final five and he's not going to get his bust in Canton. There were times when I actually thought about letting somebody else give the Lynch presentation because it wasn't working. You know, and maybe I was spoiled with some early success with Sapp and Brooks and Dungy and Ed Sable. And it was really wearing on me. And I even ran it past Lynch himself a few times, and he never backed down. He said, no, I don't want anybody else. And Steve, you could tell from the interview, he was very gracious towards me. So that really means a lot to a presenter, you know, to give the guy confidence that he's got the backing of the guy that he's presenting. It's hard to put it into words.
Well, what also would be hard to put into words, Ira, is the great stain upon the NFL and Bucks fandom. It would be if you gave up your Hall of Fame presenting duties. As we just heard, John Lynch would be horrified, and he's ready to help you go all out, as he explained, now that he can start campaigning without being a Hall of Fame candidate. He's ready to help you with Rondé Barber, and for you to pass that torch and have it go to some other clown in town would be horrific. Ira, I know your wife wouldn't talk to you for weeks.
You know, Steve, I was thinking about that. The only argument, and it would never be presented in the room. It would never be presented, but it might be in the minds of 47 selectors, and it's absolutely not fair. But, Lee, life's not fair always. So now with the third member of the great Tampa 2 getting in, that great defense, and maybe, Lee, maybe some of the people think that, hey, we're not going to put a fourth guy in from a defense that won one Super Bowl. We're not going to do that. They'll never express that, Lee, because that's folly. It's silly. That was the best defense for 7 or 8 years. That's an eternity. But that could be a factor going forward for Rondé Barber because, Lee, let's face it. When you look at Rondé Barber as a singular candidate, it's hard to find a chink in the armor.
Oh, you're absolutely correct, Ira. And I envision that. I think you're right. You're going to get some people that may actually come out and admit it. You know, I mean, they come up with this nonsense about he was a system corner, which that just drives me wild. I mean, Lawrence Taylor was a system linebacker. Joe Montana was a system quarterback. Give me a break. But now, isn't that one of the reasons that LC Greenwood never got in with the Steelers? People thought, hey, you got enough guys on there already.
That might be the perfect example. LC Greenwood, he's a very compelling candidate. He played big in the big games. And yet, you know, they're worried about putting too many Steeler defenders in. That's crazy, Lee, because even the Derek Brooks told me, you know, yeah, even Derek Brooks said, you know, comparing the Buck run with the Steelers. And Brooks says, you know, you got to give Pittsburgh the nod. They won 4 Lombardi trophies. And so you got to give them their due. And Lee, I know Mel Blunt's in there and Lambert and Ham and Mean Joe Green. I know all that, but still. You judge a guy by his merits, and that should be no factor, Lee, zero factor, and I hope it's not a factor for Rondé going forward.
Ira, switching back to the Super Bowl, do you expect Bruce Arians to sort of take his no-risk-it, no-biscuit mindset to a different level? Do you think he'll sort of go for broke in a lot of ways as far as fourth down and all those decisions that might have a chance to be conservative, that he'll just pull out all the stops? Do you think he's wired like that, or he'll get a little conservative now that we're in the biggest game of his life?
I think it's an excellent point, Steve. And for the listeners who think, you know, I don't know if Arians is going to do that. I'll use this as an example. And Fred Goodall from the Associated Press, he's been covering the Bucks even longer than I have. And he loves to bring this part up. I think it was the 98 season, Lee, and Dungy, you know, had been the coach. This was his third year in Tampa. And they had Brooks and Sapp and Lynch and Barber, I believe, at that point. And the Vikings had a tremendous offense that year, the 98 Vikings. I think they went 15-1, led by Randy Moss.
Yeah,
that's the playoff, yeah, that the guy missed the field goal. So Fred Goodall tells this story, Steve, that leading up to that Vikings game, Dungy threw out all the protocols. You know, the old, we do what we do. We are not trying to fool anybody. We play our system, and if we play it well, we don't care what the other guys do. He threw it out because they were playing a juggernaut offense, and he went for it on fourth and one. He changed his philosophy. He changed his defense, and I think that's what you're going to see on Sunday. It's Tyreek Hill, Randy Moss. Well, Tyreek Hill's Tyreek Hill. But, they got Mahomes, Steve. And I think your point is well taken. I think Arians will coach differently in this game. And, Lee, if Tony Dungy, if he can do it, Arians can certainly do it.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. I just hope that Arians doesn't pull a stunt like he did, when the Saints got up on him big at home on Sunday Night Football and, they ran the ball four times, something insane like that. And I hope he doesn't go that crazy, but, I've read enough, and when I say enough, I mean more than one or two people. I've read this, and Michael Robinson of NFL Network, he was a fullback with Seattle, he was a quarterback at Penn State. He says the Bucs offensive line, he calls them maulers. He goes, they're maulers. And he's been screaming for weeks, run the ball behind these guys. And now he's like going crazy about it because he said Mahomes can't hurt you if he doesn't have the ball. And with your running backs and your offensive line, you should be pounding the heck out of the Chiefs. I don't know if he's going to go that route or not. I don't know.
Well, you don't have to go back very far, Steve. You remember the game very well. Arrowhead Stadium, AFC Championship game 2 years ago. Here comes New England. Most people thought the Chiefs had the better team. I certainly did. They had home field advantage. And what did the great Belichick do, Steve? He ran the ball down Kansas City's throat. Brady threw very, very few passes in the first half, and they built a hell of a lead. Look, the Chiefs defense, Steve, it's better than it was in 2018. They got a different coordinator, a better coordinator. But they're still vulnerable. And I could see it happening, Steve. It wouldn't shock me if Brady doesn't throw more than 30 passes in this game. And the idea, the one thing, Steve, that's going to be scarce, I think, for both teams, punting. I think Pinion will have a very quiet day because I ain't in a hurry to give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes.
I just wanted to slap around Ira for a second here, Lee.
Uh-oh.
I got to say, Ira, that championship game, that was a really unique situation because Brady threw for 348 yards and threw the ball 46 times. I just looked it up because I knew he threw the ball left and right, but they also ran it down their throat. I mean, the total offense by the Patriots in that game was extraordinary. I know what Lee's saying, I know what you're saying as well. They're going to hope to be balanced, but I'm not sure that it'll happen. We'll see.
Well, Steve, I think a lot of Brady's yards in that game and pass attempts came in the second half because Mahomes got on fire in the second half, and the Patriots realized they better score some more points. Forget about the long drives. They better put some points on the board because Mahomes was coming on fast. And they did, and forced overtime. Mahomes never got the ball back.
And the fun thing about that game, honestly, it's really one of the greatest games in NFL history. I know Lee didn't watch it live because he didn't watch the Patriots, but that was really a stunner. And you think about that game, Brady was throwing to a whole lot of nobody in some ways, didn't have a deep threat. He's throwing a Cordarrelle Patterson, and, it's just a different world he's playing in now.
That was the D-Ford game. They said Ford lined up offsides, and was it an interception or a fumble, Steve? I can't remember. I can't remember. Might have been an interception that it seemed to seal the game in the Chiefs' favor, and they said D. Ford lined up offsides. And Steve, we're never going to prove it, but D. Ford never lined up for the Kansas City Chiefs again. They let him go to the 49ers. I believe they got a second round pick for him, and he hasn't done much as a 49er, Steve. But that was his last game in a Chiefs uniform.
Maybe that'll be the speech to Jason Light to the team before the game. Hey guys, we're tied up against the cap. Whoever screws up in this game is out next year. We'll just do it that way. Ira, before we get out of here, last question. And I can't believe the Bucks are in the Super Bowl. As Lee said a bunch of times last podcast, it's amazing. Have you decided that you're going to sell your Cherry Red Ford Escape, take the money, and take the Bucks plus three, since you think that they are going to be winners of the game outright? Are you taking the points, throwing 20 grand on it?
Well, I think I should take the points because I got the Bucks winning 31-27, Lee, which puts me on the right side of the point spread. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. And Lee, you know, this is our last podcast before the game. And I've just, you know, I'm happy for the NFL, Lee, because I think they've done a great job this year, finishing off the season in style, on schedule. Lee, on schedule, nobody thought this game was going to be played on February 7th, if it got played at all. And it happened. You know, we're critics of the NFL. They do some things wrong. They deserve some criticisms. But not in this case, Lee. Not in this case when a lot of people were saying, shut this down. We don't need football. And here we are, Lee, a dream matchup. This game, Lee, it's going to break all records for viewership. All of them.
America loves football. America needs football. And whatever egghead said that America doesn't need football, let them go live in the Ukraine. Get out of this country and leave us alone.
I can't top that ending. So we're out of here, Ira. Enjoy the game. It's going to be unbelievable when we're back next week. Who knows? But we will be back with our two podcasts presented by Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com, and, of course, our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. And Big Storm Beer will be flowing. Ira, I'll give you one last chance before history. Anything last thing that you got to say to the Bucks fans before this game? And it better not be anything that hints at losing.
Well, here's what I got to say to Buck fans that are going to the game. You are going to get a chance, and it's going to be a heck of a treat, before the game even starts, to salute one of your own. John Lynch, yes, he's in town, and he will be on the field. And it should trigger an incredibly emotional ovation. You know what? Even Lee and I, in the press box, we might stand for in honor of John Lynch. They say no cheering in the press box. Lee, the man's getting the gold jacket. I think we can let that go for 30 seconds.
Oh, you're going to pull a Jack Buck, Ira? When McGuire hit his 60th home run, Jack Buck said on the air, "Forget or pardon me, folks, while I stand and applaud."
Oh, I like that, Lee. You know, anytime you're quoting Jack Buck, I'm down with that.
And Ira, if you do stand up in the press box, please make sure your belt is tightened and hold on to your hot dog. And we'll see you next week.